Accession number 25063, Reel 3.
Yeah, Ireland was a comfortable, was a comfy post in those days. I was PSI of this LAD with a service corps, the back of Girdwood Park. It was the back of the Cromley Road jail sort of business, and we lived in Victoria Barracks, the quarter. Had a little girl by that time, and her very first school was in Ireland, and it was before the Troubles, and it was party night nearly every night. It was marvellous time. The only trouble with being a PSI was, when everybody else was off for the weekend, you was working sort of minutes, you know, you had a stupid like Monday off.
And what does PSI stand for?
Permanent Staff Instructor.
And what did you have to do as one of those?
Well, you was in charge of the rest of the LAD was all territorial soldiers, you see, and you was in charge of the training. And you know, making sure the unit's vehicles was maintained, but also making sure that the lads were doing it the proper way. They was all civilians basically, and making sure they did it sort of the army way, EMAs and all that jazz, and get them used to it. And then we used to do once a year. We should do a big exercise. We used to go over to Scotland, do it in Scotland, in support of the service corps company that we was attached to, sort of business. So it was good, but you basically put into practice all the things that you'd learned from a war and previous service. And it was such a good crowd in Ireland that there was a waiting list to join. And if, you know, if anybody was short of work at the shipyards, they'd try to make the money. I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed the potion there, and so my daughter, it was her first school. She thought it was lovely.
What rank were you at this stage?
I was a sergeant then. Yeah, I, being an ex-boy, the last corporal stripe came automatic, and it came just, the war just finished, or was finishing. It was round about the end of the war. And I was posted to this unit, 803, and I didn't want to go. I wanted to get with 12th Armoured, which is nearly all ex-boys, including the CO was an ex-boy, Arborfield, you see. Arborfield and Chepstow boys, and I wanted to get with them, but I didn't make it. I was posted to this unit, and I wasn't very happy. In the quartermaster and I fell out. He said I had to get rid of breech remi off my arm, and I said I wouldn't. And we agreed to disagree, and then the adjutant says, by the way, you've got you know, a lance corporal, go and draw two stripes. And the quartermaster said he wasn't going to give me them. And anyway, a week later on, the adjutant had a word with the quartermaster, and he very reluctantly gave me stripes. Then that unit closed down, they was all demobbed, and I went to a heavy recovery unit and got my second stripe. That unit closed down, they was all demobbed, and I joined the Central Inspectorate, and while I was with the Central Inspectorate I got my third stripe, and from then on I started behaving myself.
And so what were your parent units post-war?
Well, the Central Inspectorate in Germany, and 26 Command Workshops, 25 Command Workshops at Lanark, 24, I don't think where that was, that's up north where the salmon are. And then I can't think what. I then went back to England, and I was PSI at from Ireland. I was PSI in Northampton, and that started off as an LAD with the artillery. They folded up. It became an LA. The same group of blokes became an LID with the service corps company. They then became the RCT. And it's now in existence today as 118 Heavy Recovery Company. And then, of course, I I emigrated to Rhodesia, and I went to work for Vauxhalls. And I remember going for my interview, and they said, "What rank was you in the army?" And I said, "I was an AQMS, WO2. And this bloke said, "Could you take orders from a younger foreman, being a sergeant major in the Remy?" I said, "I'd like to point out that I didn't join as a sergeant major. I took orders from a lot of weird people before I ever became sergeant major. So I think these foremen are no different." But we was on strike so many times, I didn't know whether I was working, whether I was on strike, that we decided to emigrate, so we went to Rhodesia.
So, how were you demobbed?
Well, they sent me down to a shop to a place in London, and I was given a suit. I was embarrassed to give it to a tramp. It was the most horrible suit you ever saw in your life. They'd run out of blazers, they'd run out of grey flannels, they'd run out of everything. And they said, "Well, there's this and there's that." And I took it, and the first old boy I see in the street, I gave him the parcel. I said, "There, mate, it's a fruit."
And what year was this?
This was 69, I think.
How did you find the return to civilian life?
No, I didn't settle. I didn't settle at all. We was on strike all the while. I went and got a job at Vauxhalls, and I'm working on Bedford RLs and Bedford M's, which I knew in the army. So I thought I'm at home with the job. But I've never met such a bunch of reds in all my life. You know, I mean, all the things I was used to in the army, the camp, comradeship, you know, the discipline, just wasn't there. Yeah, they work in gangs, you see, and they say the windscreen people. So these two would wait, and this one would come, they would do it, the next one would be theirs. Well, if one of them decided he had to go to the toilet then, the next two wouldn't say, "Well, we'll do that, you do ours." That would go through without a window. Well, I was in the section at the right at the end, passing them out, and there's vehicles come all the way through the line, minus a carburetor, minus a prop shop. Well, I was employed on doing these extra ones, and then right in the middle you're working, you're quite happy, you're getting a good wage. They said you're on strike from 2 o'clock tomorrow. All sorts of daft things. Somebody won't shut the back door. Somebody, oh dear. We was on strike once because extremely captain and all in charge of the shop. A girl had only been there a month and she was getting married. And they'd collected and bought in a wedding present. And they asked this extremely captain, who was the manager of the shop, would he present it? He said, "Certainly, when?" They said, "Tuesday afternoon." He said, "I can't do it Tuesday afternoon." He said, "I've got a works meeting." So they went on strike. Yeah, because he wouldn't present it. That sort of thing. And I said, "No." And we decided to emigrate. So we went to Rhodesia, who wasn't recognised by the British government at that time.
So, so what was your favourite vehicle to work on, work with?
My favourite vehicle, the easiest vehicle to work on, was the Bedford OY. Oh, it was a piece of tanks were always complicated. You know, it's always 2 hours work to change a spark plug sort of minutes, but I don't know, there's something about them, it's a bigger span of it, you're doing something. No, the Bedford OY was lovely, or the Land Rover later on in life. Land Rover was a good vehicle to work.
Are they Second World War vehicles, or were they Second World War vehicles, or were they post-war?
No, Second World War was the OY, the Bedford OY, although I do understand that someone was still running in Cyprus in the 70s. But the Land Rover, obviously, we've got the Land Rover today. Now, I think, but the best vehicle I've ever worked with, without any fear of argument, is the Scammel diesel, the old Knocker 6x4. You really felt like somebody with the Scammel.
So, yeah. So were you driving with the Scammel?
Well, drive it, repair it, do recovery jobs with it, anything with it. Take it to bed if I could, you know. It was, oh, I loved this camel. And then we thought that Christmas would come twice a year when they brought out the 6x6. But the old scammer, the old knocker scammer, did marvellous work. It really did. I mean, you'd go from A to B and be overtaken by a cyclist, but that didn't matter. No.
So, what would you say was the best part of your service then?
The best part? Oh, I don't know. I enjoyed boys' service. I enjoyed the war after the Normandy, bit after the beaches closed. I enjoyed my service. Oh, I would do it all again. I wouldn't change a thing. Not a thing would I change. No, it's... you tend to think of the good times, I must admit. But the bad times weren't really that bad.
Do you still keep in touch with any of your friends from army days?
Well, I'm in the British Legion in Northampton, and I came in contact with a lot of ex-Remy. We've got what we call the old grey horse. They're all ex-senior NCOs from Remy that started in Northampton. And there's about four of us in the British Legion Remy. In fact, one of them was an ex-boy I knew at Arborfield, one of his boy soldiers. Yeah, I'd say I'll keep in touch, yeah. I was PSI at the unit that's still in the town, 118, so I can always look on the drill hall wall and see photographs of me if I ever get a bit. Yeah. I don't know. I was pretty frightened and uncomfortable going to Normandy, I must admit. Yeah. Some of the times in Egypt on the canal zone was a bit boring. No, I had the wife in quarters, so I can't really complain about that. No, I didn't really have a bad time at any time. I can't think of one anyway, put it that way.
What were the quarters like?
In Egypt they were pretty biblical. Very square white buildings. The water tank was on the top, so you could only have a shower after 12 at night when it had cooled down, because it was scorching up for the time. But, in Northampton they was a bit ancient. I was with Long Martin, number one SD, that's another place I was with for a while. And we got our own hiring in Stratford-on-Avon, that was a good posting.
Which unit were you with there?
I was the Remy detachment attached to number one engineer stores depot. Long Martin, just outside Stratford-on-Avon.
What was your job there?
A vehicle mechanic.
Okay.